Good evening and welcome. Welcome everyone to this live New Hampshire Electric Co-op telephone town hall meeting. I see we have a few folks on the line with us right now. Thank you all so much for joining us here early. We are dialing out to thousands, so bear with me as I go through this intro a couple of times while we allow more and more of your neighbors to join us. We are here tonight to answer any questions you may have. So that being said, in order to submit your question tonight, please press 0 on your phone keypad. You can do that now or at any time during this live forum. Again, press 0 to submit a question. You also have the option tonight to receive future email updates and information from New Hampshire Electric Co-op by pressing 7. So for folks who are just joining the call right now, hello, good evening, and welcome. You are live on the line for this New Hampshire Electric Co-op telephone town hall meeting. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns at any time throughout this call, please press 0 on your phone keypad. We will be taking your questions live later on in our forum. However, if you don't feel comfortable going live, just let one of your operators know, and I will be more than happy to read that over the air. So whatever is most comfortable for you works for us. Either way, go ahead, press 0 to submit those. And again, here, if you're interested in receiving future email updates from the co-op, please press 7 on your phone keypad. So that's pressing 0 to speak to an operator to submit your question and pressing 7 to provide an operator with your email for future updates and information. And before I turn the call over, we do have a few poll questions to hit that require your feedback as we continue to dial out to thousands of your neighbors. So please use the keypad on your phone to vote in each one. So with that being said, we're interested in knowing, did you know that as a member of New Hampshire Electric Cooperative, you are also part owner of the company? You can press 1 on your phone keypad for yes or press 2 for no. And I'll read through each of these responses twice here just to get the maximum benefit of these polls. So again, did you know that as a member of New Hampshire Electric Cooperative, you are also a part owner of the company? Pressing 1 for yes and pressing 2 for no. And I'm just going to give it a couple seconds here to tally up everyone's votes. Thank you all so much. And again, if you're just joining us, hello and welcome. You are live on the line for this telephone town hall meeting with the New Hampshire Electric Cooperative. Again, and if you have any questions, feel free to press 0 to submit those. We're going to go ahead and move along here to our second poll question before turning the call over. We have one more to get to, so stay with us here on the line as we continue our dial out. Our next question, in a cooperative, do you know that what capital credits are? Pressing 1 for yes or pressing 2 for no. So again, in a cooperative, do you know what capital credits are? Go ahead and vote now by using the keypad on your phone. Press 1 for yes or pressing 2 for no. And again, thank you all so much for being patient as we continue our dial out. If you're just joining and have any questions, feel free to press 0 on your phone keypad to submit those. And you can also press 7 to provide an operator with your email for future updates and information from the co-op. We appreciate everyone voting in that second poll question. Moving right along here to our third and final before I turn the call over, did you know that cooperatives share a portion of their earnings with their member owners? So press 1 on your phone keypad for yes, you did know, or press 2 for no. So again, did you know that cooperatives share a portion of their earnings with their member owners? Pressing 1 on your phone keypad for yes, or pressing 2 for no. Thank you, everyone, so much for participating in those polls and being patient with us throughout that process. Your feedback is important and appreciated. And again, a last reminder here, you can press 0 to submit a question and press 7 if you are interested in receiving future email updates from the co-op. So at this moment, I'd like to now go ahead and turn it over to Communications Administrator Seth Wheeler to officially get us started off here. So Seth, please take it away.
Okay, thank you, Taylor, and thanks everybody for being with us tonight on this beautiful summer night here in New Hampshire. As Taylor mentioned, my name is Seth Wheeler. I'm the Communications Administrator at New Hampshire Electric Co-op, and I'll be your host for tonight. You know, we've done quite a few of these telephone town halls now with members, and they really work out well. It's a great way to get the word out directly. But oftentimes we're talking about news that isn't so great, like maybe a rate increase or power outages or some other challenge. But tonight is purely a good news call. We've got exciting news to discuss, and we'll do it in some detail tonight, but it boils down to this. If you receive service from NHEC during any part of 2020, you'll be getting a bill credit on your July bill. This bill credit represents your ownership in New Hampshire Electric Cooperative, and it's the first time we've been able to make this possible for our members. So we're going to talk a lot more about the July bill credit, but first, in order to understand how it happens and what it really means, we need to back up just a little bit and explain about the cooperative business model, because electric cooperatives are different than investor-owned utilities. In a cooperative, you're not a customer, you're a member. And when you're a member of a cooperative, you're actually a part owner of the company. This means that when New Hampshire Electric earns a profit, it doesn't go to investors or an out-of-state holding company. It goes back into the co-op and its members. And the key thing to remember here is that cooperatives are nonprofit. They exist solely to benefit the membership, who are the consumers who use their service. So when the co-op does well, our member owners are able to share in the company's success. And I'm glad to report tonight that NHEC is doing very well. And for the first time ever, we will be returning equity to our past and present members. In real terms, that means you'll be seeing a bill credit on your July bill. We encourage you to check your bill next month for yours. So moving on, I mentioned returning equity. What does it really mean, actually? It's really just a fancy term for how cooperatives share profits with their member owners. And now you may also wonder how we keep track of and allocate profits in a nonprofit business. And it's basically an accounting system that's based on what we call capital credits. And at this time, I'm going to bring in Kristen Taylor to explain more about capital credits. Kristen has been heading up our capital credits team at the co-op and could probably tell us all we want to know and then some about capital credits and what members can expect from this first ever capital credit retirement. Kristen, thanks. Welcome. Thanks for being with us. Why don't you start by explaining in more detail what the co-op does with the money it takes in from members? I know we said we're a nonprofit, but we actually try quite hard to earn what you would typically call a profit every year. So what happens when NHEC earns more revenue than it spends to provide service to members?
Hi, Seth. Thanks for having me tonight. And sure, I'd be happy to explain some more information on capital credits. So when NHEC takes in more revenue than it spends in a given year, those margins, as we call them, are first used to make the electric system safe and reliable and keep rates stable and affordable. NHEC's member owners are also allocated a portion of that equity. So when members accrue equity in the co-op, it is represented in what we call capital credits. Each member has a capital credit account that is maintained in our financial records, and we keep track of it each year. Every year, members accrue these capital credits based on their electric usage. So when finances allow, cooperatives will do what we call retire capital credits, which basically means converting some of their accrued equity into cash in the form of a bill credit for an active member, or for former members, a refund check. This first ever capital credit retirement will be the start of what we expect to be an ongoing practice of returning part of the equity to our members.
Okay, thanks for that, Chris. And so as I understand it, say I start service on day one with the co-op, I start with a capital credit number. And that number follows me around no matter if I start in Meredith and I move to Raymond, I move to Colebrook, wherever I'm at, my capital credit number stays with me. And as long as I'm taking service from the co-op, I'm still accruing capital credits. Is that correct?
That's correct. So if you have multiple accounts, or if you close an account and move and open a new account, you have a customer number that represents your capital credit account that follows you and keeps track of your capital credits throughout your service with NHEC.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks. And stick around, too, because we'll have some more logistical questions later. But right now I want to bring in New Hampshire Electric Co-op's president and CEO, Steve Camarino, who's also with us here tonight, to give us kind of a more historical perspective on this milestone for the co-op. Steve, welcome. Thanks. And this decision by the board of directors of the co-op marks the first time the co-op is going to retire capital credits and return equity to members in its 82-year history. So So why now, and why hasn't the co-op been doing this all along?
Well, good evening, Seth, and it's a good question. Really, the co-op has gone through a couple of phases to get to this point. As many people are aware, an electric utility like NHEC is a highly capital-intensive business. There's a lot of very costly assets that last a long time that need to be purchased and funded by the business and paid for over time. And so for decades, the business was being built out and built up, and so there wasn't this kind of additional capital to pay back. That was compounded by the fact that the co-op had a bankruptcy back in the early 1990s, so about 30 years ago. And coming out of the bankruptcy, the co-op actually had a negative equity position, meaning that from a financial accounting standpoint, there wasn't any funds to pay out to members. Since then, over the last 30 years, through very careful management and hard work by the employees of the co-op and the members continuing to fund the operations of the co-op so that the service would be safe and reliable to them, we have built up an equity position that is where it needs to be for a business of this type. And we've reached the point where we are sufficiently well capitalized that the excess of revenues that Kristen described can start to be paid back to members. So that's a little bit of a complex journey there, I understand. But basically think of it as the co-op started 82 years ago, had to get off the ground, build up its finances, then it had a rather large hiccup in the form of Seabrook, and has built its way back to a very strong financial position. And that's something that we should all be very proud of, I think, both members and employees who have brought us to this point.
Great. Thanks, Steve. And then to follow up, going forward, is this something we can expect every year? And basically, what is the board looking at when deciding whether or not to retire capital credits that year?
So good question, and that was one of the considerations that the board took into account in deciding whether now is a good time to begin paying capital credits. The board thought it was important that if we started this, we should be able to do it on a sustainable basis. So in an ideal world, that will be done every year going forward, but what's most important is the ongoing financial strength of the co-op. And so each year before capital credits are paid out or credited to members, the board will look at the finances of the utility, both its current finances and looking forward as to what it forecasts, to ensure that the payment of capital credits out to members won't do anything to undermine the long-term financial health of the organization. And that's because our number one priority is operating the utility in a way that is safe and reliable and has affordable rates for members. And when we are comfortable that we can do that and pay back these excess revenues back to members who generated them, that's what we will do.
Okay, and when the board made this decision earlier this spring, how much actual money did they approve returning to members this year?
So the initial payment to members and former members, I want to stress, is $4 million roughly, and that will be split between people who are currently taking service from the co-op, who will get about 30% of that amount, and past members who will get about 70%. And I'll explain why that split was made in a moment. Bear in mind that, again, we want this to be sustainable. So this is the first year we're doing this. We started out at a relatively low level, but having in mind what is the time period over which co-op assets need to be financed? And so balancing all of that, we came out with the $4 million figure. Now, you might say, why are we paying the money to past members as well as current members? All members who have accrued these capital credits are, by law, actually, and by our organizational documents, entitled to have this money repaid to them, even if they leave the system before the money is paid back. And it's one of the sort of basic concepts of the cooperative is that the people who are using the system today should essentially be financing its operations. And when you leave the system, as much as possible, you should get back your capital credits. Because we haven't returned them in the past, we do have an accumulated balance to past members, and we want to eliminate that relatively quickly so that we can focus on people who are more current members. But we also want people who are currently members to gain an understanding that what it means to be a member of a cooperative, and so beginning to give them a bill credit as well so that they can see how this system works is very important to us.
Okay, thanks, Steve. And I'm going to bring in Kristen again at this point to explain in some more detail what members can expect to see on their July bill credit. So, Kristen, Steve says we're retiring $4 million in equity. Now, if I've been a co-op member for a while and I've accrued a lot of capital credits, should I start planning my vacation to Hawaii?
Wouldn't that be nice, Seth? I wouldn't quite book your trip to Hawaii yet, but members that had service back in 2020 will be seeing an average bill credit for residential members of about $18.12, and for non-residential members, $177.18. Now, those are averages, so they could be higher or lower, but their bill credit will appear on their July bill under the other charges and credits section of their bill, which is under the summary of charges. If members have any questions on capital credits, I just wanted to remind them to refer to our capital credits page on our website for more information at www.nhec.com/capital-credits.
Okay, great. And Kristen, remind us too, what accounts for the variance in a particular member's amount of their capital credits? Like, is it based on your electric usage? Is that what basically
it is? Yes.
Yeah.
Our capital credits are allocated to each of our revenue classes based on distribution revenue build. So it's based on their electric usage.
Okay, gotcha. And Steve mentioned briefly that we'll also be sending checks to former members who have either moved away or are no longer getting electric service from NHEC. We're literally going to be sending checks, so that's correct, to them?
That's correct. Cooperatives have many different methods for retiring capital credits. NHEC did not start allocating until the year 1971, so we're also including those folks that were members of the cooperative between the years 1971 to 1982, as well as showing the benefit of our active members that had service in the year 2020. So even though they may not be a member any longer, the former members from 1971 to 1982, their equity sustained the cooperative and they should share in its success.
But there's a good chance, too, that there's going to be a number of members who may still be with us from 1971 to 82 and who also took service in 2020, and they should be in line for a pretty decent check.
That's correct.
Okay, great. Like I said, folks, good news all around. So we're going to get to our questions here shortly, Taylor. Just a heads up, we're going to send it back to you shortly. But before we do that, I want to turn back to Steve for a quick wrap-up. Again, before I do, though, Kristen mentioned it briefly, but I do want to refer to our website that has a lot more questions and answers about capital credits, nhec.com/capital-credits. Steve, why don't you take us away with a quick wrap-up, and we'll get on to our questions.
So just a couple of really simple points. First of all, this is not a dividend. Don't think of this like you would as a shareholder. As Kristen explained, we're a nonprofit. And there is every year or many years an amount by which our revenues exceed our expenses. When that happens, we look at your electrical usage, and your percentage of our total electrical usage is applied to that difference between the revenues and expenses, and we book that as your capital credit. And we keep track of that every single year, the difference between our revenues and expenses, and we allocate your share. And now we're beginning to pay back those amounts. This is really a historic point for the cooperative. If you look at, you know, maybe the three or four biggest landmarks in the history of the co-op, I would say this is right up there in that group. And the reason is it really is fundamental to demonstrating what does it mean to be member-owned and nonprofit. We are returning the profits that we earned in past years. that we don't need anymore in order to capitalize the business, and it goes back to the people who generated it based on how much electricity they used. And so this really is central to who we are and how we do business.
Super. Well said, Steve. And just a reminder before I turn it back to Taylor to hit zero if you have a question to get into the queue. And Taylor, we'll turn it back to you for questions.
Yes, sounds good. Thank you so much, Steve. And yes, just as he mentioned, you can press zero still to submit your question for our live forum. And then also you can press seven to receive those future email updates from the co-op. So with that, I want to go ahead and welcome our first caller here. We have Dylan live on the line here. Dylan, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, so does the more like refund go to like all members? Like new and old, no matter how long you've been with the electric co-op. It's just like when you're newer, it's a smaller amount.
So I can take a stab at that, and then maybe Kristen wants to add in. Whether it's large or small is dependent on how much electricity you used relative to the total in the year that we are allocating back to members. So we are, there'll be larger amounts probably going to the members from the past because there are more years being covered by that, but that could change from year to year. I know that's a little bit complicated, but there isn't a set rule about which years get more or which years get less. It has to do more with how many years of capital credits we're paying back and how much your usage was in those years. I don't know if that gets to your question, and maybe Kristen would like to add something.
I'm happy to
move right
further. If
go ahead, Kristen.
Just further to Steve's point, the years that we are choosing to retire are 1971 to 1982 and then part of 2000 or 2020 as well. And that's for this year's retirement. And then we will proceed on as we move forward with other years to retire. So it's not a matter of if you've been a member for as long, it's a matter of if you were a member in those years that we are retiring and if you had electric usage in that time.
Copy that. Well, thank you both so much for answering that question here from Dylan. Looks like our next question is coming in from Stephen. Stephen, I'd like to go ahead and welcome you to the call here. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. Yes, I was wondering, are you involved with Energy Source? Or is
That doesn't ring a bell. If you mean Eversource, which is another electric utility, the largest distribution utility in the state, that does not relate to this. So I think the answer to your question would be no.
All right. Well, thank you so much for answering that question here. We got another one coming in from Patricia. Patricia, you are now live. Please go ahead with your question. All right, looks like Patricia may have just stepped away from her phone. No worries, I'll go ahead and read that over the air for her. She was just wondering, was some of the equity we earned due to the renewable energies feeding back into the grid?
I guess I'll take that one. So the earnings, the capital credits that we're talking about relate solely to the volume of members' energy purchases from the cooperative, and that's regardless of the source of that energy. So the energy certainly, you know, would include renewable energy, so yes, but the source of the energy doesn't have any impact on the amount of the capital credits. It's the fact that the energy was delivered by us to the member, and we look at the amount of that relative to the total usage on the system, and that just determines your share of the capital credits for that year.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Steve. Next up here, we have Deborah in line with her question. Deborah, you are now live. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. I was wondering if the broadband service that's being offered by the co-op will be offered to all residents in a town, even though part of the town is served by another electric utility.
So I think I'll take that one. That is something that we're looking at. The answer may be different from town to town, depending on grant funding and particular arrangements. So there is a possibility that in some towns where we end up bringing broadband service to serve our members, that we go beyond our electric service territory and serve the entirety of the town. So those discussions will be taking place. I would say, you know, frankly, it's likely that that will occur, but the answer may be different depending on the circumstances.
All right. Thank you so much. Moving on, we have another question coming in here from Tasman. And another quick reminder that if you haven't submitted a question yet and you have something on your mind, please go ahead and press 0 to submit those. You can also press 7 to receive any future email updates from the co-op as well. So with that, getting right back to your live caller questions, let's go ahead and take a question from Tamsin here. Tamsin, you are live on the line. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to find out about the fiber optic service that is being rolled out through New Hampshire and how the decision is being made about where to do it and, you know, sort of in what order it's happening through the state.
So we don't we're not really ready to announce specific towns. And we wouldn't want to kind of let the competition, let's say, know exactly where we're going. But one thing we have been very clear about is that our priority is bringing service to areas that have unserved or underserved broadband at the moment. So those areas in our service territory that don't have any broadband service or have lower speed broadband is where our initial focus will be. Now, as you build those areas out, you obviously, as a matter of efficiency, we'll touch on other areas as well. So that's the most I can say right now, but that really will be our focus.
All right, great. Thank you so much, Steve. Our next question here, coming in from Ken, who would rather not go live. He's asking, he has solar, so will he still get his rebate?
Yes, capital credit refunds are based on our delivery revenue. So any net metering or solar members will be getting a capital credit as well.
Great. Thank you so much, Kristen. Looks like our next live caller here is Jim. And Jim, you are now live on the line. Welcome to the call. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Jim. Go ahead with your question. You're live.
Okay. My question was, and I think it may have been answered, but I wanted to know if the amount of the rebate was related to the length of time that you've been a member, and I think the first question addressed that. So.
Right. It's based on your electric usage in the years that we'll be retiring.
All right, great. Thank you so much for that answer. Moving right along here, I do have a question from Patty here, who she was asking earlier, but she may have dropped off the line here, but it was a great question. So she was asking why previous members get a 70% return while current members only get 30.
I'll take that. So due to the fact that we have not yet retired capital credits, we have a financial obligation to return capital credits to our longest standing members that have been with us since 1971. and retiring the oldest first while giving a benefit to our active membership that had service in 2020, we felt was a good way to start our retirement and establish our retirement methodology to bring in line the rates with the ratepayers that are paying for the service.
Thank you so much for that answer, Kristen. Moving along here, we have our next caller, Pamela. Pamela, you are now live. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Hi. So my father was a member for a long, long time, but he passed away during the time that you're speaking of. Is his credit going to be forfeited, or can it be received by a family member?
Thanks for that question. For any former members that have passed away, we would need the estate paperwork showing who is appointed executor of trustee in order for us to transfer the capital credit refund legally. And our member solutions department would be happy to take that paperwork. If you wanted to call in, that it can be mailed in or it could be emailed, but that paperwork would need to be submitted in order for us to change the payee information on that capital credit account.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Kristen, again here. Next up here, we have Keisha live on the line. Keisha, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, my question was just, does this apply to homeowners or renters as well?
If the landlord is the customer or the member that established the account, the capital credits would go to the landlord. If you as a renter opened your own account with your own member number, then you would be entitled to the capital credit.
Great. And our next question here coming in from George. George, welcome to the call here. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I would like to know about deceased members. And I think the last question, the question before, answered that.
Great.
I would just, yeah, and I think I want to add one thing on that, actually. Kristen mentioned calling our member solutions group and providing them with the information regarding the estate. I think that would be worth checking on for anyone listening who's in that situation with a former member who's passed away. We did do a mailing to make sure we have good addresses on former members, but it's possible in the situations you're describing that we wouldn't have been able to find the person's address or that the mailing may have been returned. So if you want to be sure, you can contact us and we will look into the account, check the information you're providing, and make sure we have what we need. So there's nothing wrong with contacting us about that.
Perfect. Thank you both so much. And thank you, George, for that question and joining the conversation. Again, we're getting through these questions very quickly here. Thank you, everyone who has submitted a question. You can still press 0 on your phone keypad if you are just thinking of a question now that maybe we haven't covered. So go ahead, press 0, get that question in line. And as well, you can still press 7 to go ahead and receive those email updates from the co-op. So with that, going right to Lisa's question here. Lisa, you are now live. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, how is everyone tonight?
Good. Very good, thanks.
Doing great, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So my question was, if you are paying out the 70% to past members who are no longer members, did I get that right?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. So for those of us who are current members, can we expect to receive a higher refund next year in the years coming up?
Go ahead, Kristen.
Our methodology has us refunding 70% to former members and 30% to active members as we move forward. And if if that were to change at all, we would run that analysis and let our members know.
Yeah, I would add that the board can review that allocation every year. And one of the reasons that we are approaching it the way we are, which is initially 70% former members, is the numbers for the former members are smaller, let's say, and we feel that we can get through many of those old years relatively quickly and get to the point where we're refunding, in all likelihood, a larger portion to current members. So I think it's likely that the kind of shift you're asking about will occur, but we'll have to see as things progress over the next couple of years.
All right, great. Thank you both so much. And Lisa, thank you for joining our conversation. Next up here, we have Mervin live on the line. Mervin, go ahead with your question, please, for the co-op.
My question was, what happens to the years that you didn't mention, like the 1980s, the 90s, the 2000s? And I had some of these in my name, some of the LLC names, which, you know, those accounts are all terminated. But more importantly, on this broadband, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue with this fiber optic when you've got 6G, which is satellite, and you won't need the fiber optic, and that's coming down the road. They're already working on it. Companies are putting the satellites up. They're putting up packages of satellites, I think, 50 at a time each shot, like I think Google or something.
If I could respond to your capital credit question, we are not able to pay out all of our capital credit allocations all at one time because doing so would negatively impact the co-op's finances and cause sharp increases in electric rates. We are returning capital credits to the years that we discussed earlier, and then we'll be on a rotation cycle to retire the next several years after that as we move forward. So eventually, you know, we will get caught up. And as Steve said, there will be more of a shift that our former members will, you know, will have retired and brought us up to date so that our active membership can get more of a refund. But we are returning them on a rotating basis.
And I would add on that, so if you think about it this way, I know we referred to the 70% as former members, but really what the 70% is those early years. And this year we will have repaid all the capital credits from the early years that Kristen described, and then we will be able to move forward in time and do capital credits from the 80s and then the 90s. So we will get to those years as we knock off the capital credits from each of the years that come before it. And so that's kind of the progression, if you think of it that way. Each year has a certain amount of capital credits, and as we've paid those back, we get to go to the next year. As to the satellites and fiber, I'm not a technological expert on this, but what I would tell you is a few things. There's some real limitations of those satellites. Probably the most important that affects New Hampshire is you have to be able to have a dish that I think can see down to about 120 degrees on the horizon, if you can imagine that, and then all the way around in a 360-degree circle. You can imagine that getting down that low in New Hampshire on a 360-degree basis with all the trees we have makes that technology not that favorable for many people in New Hampshire. There are also some limits in terms of the speeds that may impact people not only now, but as they need higher speed broadband in the future. So we think that fiber is a future-proof technology, while satellite has its place for, you know, remote areas that don't have lots of trees. We think fiber is the better solution, and that's why we're pursuing that.
Well, thank you both so much for that answer. And thank you again, Mervin, for joining the conversation. Next up here, we have a question coming in from David. David, you are now live on the line here. Please go ahead with your question.
My question is whether the capital credit refunds will be taxable income for the members.
I don't believe they are. I believe we researched that, and it is not taxable income. I would like to confirm that for you before giving a final answer, though.
If the caller can maybe leave your name and email, we'll get back to you on that, and we even will consider maybe in some of our capital credit information sharing that. But we are not in the business of giving tax advice, so that we want to be careful in the information we share on that.
Yes, understood. David, go ahead. You're back in that listening audience right now. Go ahead. You can press 9. Leave us a voicemail message so that we can privately reach back out to you. Thank you so much. Moving right along here, we have James next up on the line with his question. James, you are now live. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yes. My question relates to why the co-op made the choice, or seems to have made the choice to provide the credits in this way rather than to reduce rates or perhaps invest in other assets like renewable energy or the fiber optics you've just been talking about.
We're not able to lower rates because the purpose is to return capital credits to the members who paid the rates that created those capital credits. So if we decreased rates and at this time, instead of returning capital credits, past members would not receive the capital credits that they have been owed, which would not be fair or equitable.
And I think it's a really good question because it illustrates in some ways the unique nature of these capital credits. This really, as much as it might seem like we have a choice about how we do this, we really don't. Because this goes to the essence of what, of us being a nonprofit. And so we, by law, we can only collect revenues for the services we provide that cover our costs. But there's two sort of, I don't want to say exceptions to that, but provisos. The first is, it's impossible each year to be able to set your rates in a way that you would get exactly the costs you need. So there are years when the revenue we take in is off somewhat by from the costs that we incur. That's just going to happen every year because you can't get it exactly right. But the other is we need a certain amount of capital in the business. We need to accumulate some excess revenues, if you will, to be able to fund the operations of the business and the investments that are needed. But eventually, we have all of the capital that we need to do that, and that's where we are. And by law, all of the times when we collected more revenue than expenses, we have to track that, put somebody's name on it, and eventually return it to them. We can't decide to do something else with it, and that's the point we're at. So the types of things you're talking about which might happen in another business, our obligation when we have enough accumulated capital is to return those monies to the members who generated them.
Got it. Thank you so much. And James, appreciate that question here. Let's see here. Next up, we have a question coming in from Donna. Donna, I'd like to go ahead and welcome you to the call. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I just have a question because you said there was a difference in reimbursing business versus residential, and I've had business electric and residential electric, and both of them are under my personal name. So I'm wondering how do you guys split that out? Is it by address or what happens?
The accounts under your name, which would be under your customer or capital credit number, would all roll up to that capital credit number. So it's cumulative, and it is all based on your electric usage. So whether you are a commercial member and a residential member, it's based on your electric usage for that account, and then it would all roll up to what we call your primary account.
So
the average bill credits that I mentioned earlier were based off of the the number of active members we have and the capital credit refunds that are based on their electric usage, and they are just averages. So, you know, there's a lot of, there's 66,000 members that are going to be getting refunds in non-residential and residential combined. So the averages I mentioned earlier are more specific to residential and non-residential.
Gotcha. Thank you so much, Kristen. And thank you, Donna, as well. Next up, we have a question coming in from Eric here. Eric, you're now live. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there, Eric. You're live.
Yes.
Go ahead with your question.
I think one of my questions was answered, which was the difference between a commercial or business and residential. But the question that the second part of the question I had was if you had more than one account, how is that handled? In other words, for instance, I had an account for approximately 12 years, which building was sold, and as a result, it was terminated at the end of that 12-year period, but I still have a residential account. I'm not sure whether I have two memberships or there's one membership and how that's handled.
Your membership should still be under one customer number, so think of it like an umbrella, and your multiple accounts that you've had over the years are still underneath that umbrella, but that are rolling up to that primary capital credit or customer account. Our system is tracking all of it and summing the activity in the account, the capital credit activity for one refund, rather than getting a refund on each individual account.
Thank you so much, Kristen. And I just want to go ahead and give a last call here. If you haven't pressed 7 yet already during this live call to receive those future email updates from the co-op, go ahead and do so now. We have that queue wide open here, so now's your chance to take advantage. Go ahead, press 7 to receive those email updates from the co-op. And with that, I want to go ahead and get to Bob's question next. Bob, you are now live on the line. Go ahead.
Well, you already answered part of mine with the people that asked about deceased customers. But in a larger sense, what happens to any customer, deceased or not, if you can't find them? Does their money from that just go back into the pool to be eventually distributed to others? What happens when you can't find them, and does that happen often?
We are required by law to make an attempt to locate the former member for our updated address. And we have to, for a period of 5 years, maintain that capital credit. And if it goes unresponded, then at that point it would be considered abandoned.
And I would add, if it's abandoned, I believe, and Kristen will correct me if I've got this wrong, a portion of it, a small portion, I think it might be 25% or so, goes to the state. The rest is retained by the cooperative, and that's a good thing for members, because remember I told you we need a certain amount of capital in the business to operate it. To the extent that we have abandoned property as capital, that reduces the amount we need to hold back from our members. So while those amounts that you're referring to aren't particularly large, they are helpful. And so that's what happens if they are ultimately abandoned.
Great. Thank you both for that answer. Bob, so glad to have you connected here tonight. Next up here, we have a question coming in from Pam. Pam, you're now live. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you so much for doing these. I've really enjoyed having these town halls to get a lot of questions I didn't know needed answers, so thanks. My question, I think, has already been answered on several other callers, so just wanted to say thanks.
Thank you for that. And I also just wanted to remind everyone again that our Capital Credits page on our website at www.nhec.com/capital-credits has a series of FAQs on capital credits, some of which that we've covered tonight. And it's very informative and educational.
Yes, and thank you so much. And for everyone, it does look like that is all the time that we have tonight. We did power through. We answered as many questions as we could in our allotted time. But to everyone still listening in on the line right now, we do invite you to stay on until the very end of this call if you had any further questions or comments that maybe we didn't get to yet. We do ask that you just leave us your name and your best contact information so that we have a fighting chance of reaching back out to you. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Seth here to bring us to the finish line.
All right, Taylor, thank you. And thank you to our panelists tonight, my friends from the co-op, and for everybody who's still hanging with us tonight. Capital credits and the retirement of capital credits is not an easy thing to get your mind around. But we hope as time goes by and this becomes more of an ongoing occurrence that we will get to know it really well and you'll get to really appreciate it. So thanks again, everybody, for joining us, and have a great night.